Welcome to another night of Squirrel Snow, and tonight I have a very, very special guest. Somebody that has been really working the field of what I've been calling galactic awareness for the times we're living, but also for the times ahead, where we will be reintegrated into our cosmic whole as per the commandments of the universe. And it's a very exciting process, and it's confusing for many, has been for me. And here I want to introduce to you C. Earthstar, who is a real teacher, counselor, healer, and intuitive, a person that has full remembrance, not only full remembrance of her cosmic self and her cosmic history and the mechanics of incarnation, but she owns it. So that is the most exciting part, C, and something that I totally respect about you. And I think all your followers and all the people that are supporting your journey right now get inspired by that. It's like, wow, you're really talking about it, like straight up to my face, without filters, in a world that, well, as you point out frequently, is devoid of true spirituality. It's an upside down reality system here. So, well, before we go into your own personal journey for people to know you, I just, one of the things that I do on this show always is to try to bring about galactic awareness, remembrance to people that, well, planet Earth is not just floating alone in space. We're part of a massive galactic ecosystem, a galactic forest ecosystem. And that we're not alone, we're all interconnected. So with that being said, what comes to mind when I say protocols of galactic interaction? I believe we've been through the protocols of galactic interaction for quite a while now, I'm quite certain. And there are different stages that we are reaching. So yeah, just give us your input on the protocols of galactic interaction that we're experiencing here in the Earth domains.
I just want to make sure that I understand the question properly. When you say galactic protocols, do you mean like the process that we're currently in which humanity will eventually normalize there being galactic neighbors and us being a part of a greater community out in the universe?
Yes. But also the hard to explain process of accepting from a heart perspective, from an emotional perspective, intuitive perspective, that we are just like our ecosystems here on Earth, like mechanisms that are just this magical, organic beauty machine, that we are also part of this much greater galactic system. So the protocols are logical, but also intuitive, also emotional, very intellectual, but also very emotional. And yeah.
This is quite a difficult conversation to just dive right into, because there's obviously so much context. I think that what we're experiencing here on Earth right now, where people have just no awareness of the invisible realms and what is beyond just the 3D and things like that, it's absolutely not normal. And so, but because so many people exist in that frame of reality, that is really quite difficult to engage in this conversation. I think that it begins with the truth that we each have a very profound connection into different dimensionalities of ourselves. I think that this connection is, you know, deeply written about in all ancient cultures and shamanic cultures across the globe, of how we used to interact with nature and realms beyond nature, and even ETs and the Star Nations. All of these things are not new. In fact, they carry, you know, lots of different ancient lineages across the whole planet. And something interesting then happened where humanity almost fell from that kind of understanding or that kind of knowledge. I think that a lot of different cultures are still holding certain strands of that awareness and that knowledge. But for the most part, you know, our modern civilization has kind of created this new normal where the new foundational reality is that there's only your five senses, that there's nothing beyond, you know, what we experience. And then part of that illusion is, you know, perhaps we're alone in the universe and we're confined to this 3D little blue orb here on this planet. And I think when we put it into perspective in that way, where we realize that, you know, if we can humble ourselves, you know, how is it that all of these unrelated ancient cultures that carry so much wisdom and people lived in such connection and had deep meaning and profoundness in their lives, how is it that they all had connection to galactic civilizations? How they all have similar stories of how, you know, humanity has this destiny of reconnecting to our perhaps stellar ancestors, and how that path will lead us back into some sort of connection, some sort of true spiritual connection to the core essence of our own being and our destiny. And I think that then that becomes kind of the protocol or the North Star. I think that humanity, you know, we do share a destiny. There is a destiny for the species of human. I think that we were always intended to be a species that embodied or became the materialized form of higher consciousness or divinity. And this is something that is also shared in many, many, many ancient cultures, you know, across the globe. And many of it speak about this core essence of our human being. And I think that the ascended or the planets in other places in the universe that has gone through this particular phase of evolution and has already reached a point where they have realized themselves as a part of the oneness of the universe and realized themselves as emanations of divine love and these higher virtues, I think in order for us to kind of fit in and to assume our role, humanity has to go through this graduation process as well, where we step into our own matured form. And I think that, you know, a lot of beings are kind of looking at us almost comically, just being like, all right, like, are these humans gonna make it? Like, do they know that they're God? Like, what's going on there? And I think there's just the protocols are that there are certain vibrations and certain phases of our maturity that has to be integrated before we can enter into relationship with greater communities. I think that we can compare it to, you know, Earth politics, where if you have a country that is democratic or have more evolved kind of political stances, that you probably wouldn't want to merge with countries that are possibly carrying other more primitive systems of society, right? It's because we're at different levels of perhaps societal evolution, and there are certain agreements that we all have. So, for example, we are all nice to each other, and we don't exert violence on each other, and we don't kill each other. These are kind of our societal rules that we have. So if there's another society that's like, well, you know, you can just steal from people and kill people if you want as a free-for-all. So our society, we probably wouldn't want those people to mingle with our society, right? Because we've established a certain level of maturity and civilization in our world. So I think it's a similar thing where we're just being waited upon to embody higher levels of maturity and being civil on a cosmic level. Before we're kind of welcomed into certain unions and alliances with other systems.
That's it makes perfect sense. It wouldn't be an easy process to just try to integrate to our societies where we come from, what we remember, because we're so different that we're completely incompatible. I want to bring up a topic. I wasn't going to bring it up right away, but I have to, I feel, because it's part of the problem that we have had on this planet, is that people, a lot of people believe, based on what I call the primitive science from the 1800s, 1700s, but good science, though, because it's been the basis for our development. A lot of people believe that, well, humans are just flawed. We're just bad. Like, we can't really be good. Because look at the world, look at what we're doing, wars. Like, it's like we can't help it. Humans are so bad. But the truth is that, well, planet Earth has been a colony of a very predatorial foreign influence And this is the part that a lot of people, well, that's when they just roll their eyes and they go like, dude, no, I have to go and get my Starbucks and go on my computer, maybe play a video game. But this is what we understand as actually the case for planet Earth. It's been a colony of a predatory foreign influence that is, it's incredible what they have done to oppose that which occurs naturally. I think that is important to maybe if you would like to discuss your take on that, like an explanation. Half of the audience of this show are people that are very interested in this cosmic awareness, but have very little knowledge. Just tell us about the state of Earth as a colony of a predatory foreign influence, and how is that presence, which has modified human consciousness and human expression in a negative way?
So this is a great question. And I want to just approach it with a lot of gentleness because it's an intense conversation, right? Oftentimes it's really easy for us to talk about things that are out there. So, you know, wars, you know, things are horrible and things are happening and they're scary. But when we're starting to talk about this predatorial force, as you're saying, we're really starting to just peek into each being's internal experience. And I think at this point on the planet, there's not one human being that is not creeped out a little bit about, you know, the state of the world. Irregardless of where they think the source of that is, I think we can all agree that something very strange is going on. I don't think many people are really happy. I think that, you know, while people can argue that, you know, maybe there's an intuition, maybe we're empathic, like at some level, we all have feelings. Humans are very sensitive feeling beings naturally. And so I think that to summarize that there is something wrong with human civilization, there's something going on this planet that is very strange, and that it really does require stability and compassion for us to really approach this conversation in a mature way where it actually is productive. And so, you know, I just want to preface this conversation by saying that there is a lot of support and there's a lot of love in the space around us, in trees, in nature, on the earth. In fact, there's nothing that is, well, what I like to think is that there's just infinitely more love than there are scary things in our world. And that's what I really believe. So as we dive into talking about some of these things that might be difficult to hear, because I do feel like it's part of my role to be able to communicate about these things clearly with people and to be able to have this conversation, that, you know, we're not really trying to make it sound scary. We're going to walk through it rationally by pointing out the things that are very 3D, that are very strange, right? And so, you know, just really remember that if you do feel afraid, if you do feel anxious about any of the things that we are going to talk about down the line, connect with love, connect with your heart, because there's always greater love inside of your being, greater courage from your inner connection with your true north, with your true self and with God, that will overcome and override anything scary that we might start talking about. And so I think that the easy way for us to go into this conversation, that there is a deliberate force that is here to imprison or control or manipulate humanity in some way. The easiest way we can perceive that is through looking at the 3D world. And so what we see is, you know, there's the people that have the most control of resources on this planet. They are very often using those resources to manipulate people in a negative way by, you know, providing junk food and by creating pornography and by, you know, it's like I saw a meme the other day where it's like, oh, yeah, they can, you know, censor people on the internet, but they can't take down all the child porn, right? It's like, what are they focused on doing on this planet? There's clearly just not the priorities of our governing and elite people are clearly not in alignment with true benevolence. I think that that's something that we can all agree with, right? And I think that the more we really open our eyes to see that, we will start to see that pattern in very many different aspects of our life. like the education system and the healthcare system. How, you know, one easy way that people will say, well, it's because of money. It's because people are motivated by making money and they're allowing their greed for money to feed these patterns. But then we start looking at the underlying psychological effects of these things. What we realize is that we have a culture that perpetuates what I like to call anti-self beliefs. Basically, we have normalized believing that we're not good enough, we're not pretty enough. Ever since we're born, we're kind of taught to judge ourselves and to disconnect from ourselves, to be insecure. And we've in fact just normalized all of those very neurotic and mental processes that are quite negative, and we've just accepted it as life. And I'm pointing this out because sometimes, you know, things normal, when things are normal, it's easy to just look past them. Like, oh yeah, that's just the way things are. But really, I remember when I was first waking up and it dawned on me, because, you know, I've always been very, I guess I've been connected to truth. Like when I went to school, I was like, wait, like kids are naturally creative and we're meant to just like be in joy, and like none of this system is supporting like the organic creativity of human beings. It seems like the education system is more interested in perpetuating some sort of societal structure than supporting new souls and their arrival onto the planet. And I think that this is really from remembering how civilizations are like in other places in the universe, where, you know, when as a school teacher and as somebody that escorts souls across the veils into a new life, this is a very honorable role. And we know that souls are here to learn and expand and create and experience. And it's just a different way of looking at things. It's a different way of supporting life growing and life existing. Right. And so having that perspective of how things are meant to be, or how things could be in a more conscious and more love-oriented civilization, you kind of realize that this civilization is not really built on those positive virtues like loving life and honoring creation and all of those things. Right. And so then you can actually just do research on who are the people that basically owns all of the corporations that are perpetuating those things. And so you realize that they're actually just a few holding companies that own basically every other popular company under the sun. So schools, universities, junk food, grocery stores, hospitals, media companies, right? And they're all technically owned by these few holding companies or investment firms. And so what that's saying is that there are a few people on this planet that are in ownership of all of the systems that have been set in place to perpetuate negativity and self-hatred and disconnection and toxicity on our planet, right? Now, that doesn't really necessarily move into other dimensional stuff, but, you know, as you go down the rabbit hole, like, I mean, that's enough, really, right? It's like, who cares if it's like some aliens or just a group of human beings? At this point, we're like, okay, there is a force, there is a unified intent to manipulate humanity and to control humanity via, you know, lowering our vibration and disconnecting ourselves from ourselves, because that's what the anti-self virus really is, right? When we feel negativity towards ourselves, we're just creating a separation between ourself and ourself, or ourself and our body, or ourself and our inner sense of dignity. Okay, so what incarnation is your sense of continuation and your sense of yourself as you're moving through your life. And so on Earth, we have this lack of remembrance of who we are on a soul level. And in fact, we just kind of accept things as they are, like this normal, right? But the thing is that, you know, when you take a step back, you kind of zoom out of it, you realize that if none of these systems were here, and this ties into that original conversation we were having about, you know, human nature. I think when a baby is born, they're so full of wonder and joy, and they laugh, and they're just so curious about everything. And that, you know, if you, I don't know, if you just go out and talk to random people, I feel like most humans that I personally come in contact with are quite kind and caring and loving human beings, right? I meet very few people that are actually malevolent. And yeah, sure, there's some people that are kind of mean, but you can tell that it's just because their heart's really been beaten down, right? We can tell a difference between someone that is, just kind of wounded and traumatized, and somebody that is actively malevolent. I feel like there's actually really quite few human beings in the world that are malevolent. And I think if you have eyeballs and you have energy, you can tell, right? When you go into the grocery store, you look around, you're like, actually, there's not that many people who are at the core evil, right? And so if we're all, if human being, if you tune into that, not with your logical brain, but into your heart, into your senses, and you kind of connect with the essence of your own humanity, you will find certain qualities inside of humanity, things like kindness and love and this desire to cultivate beauty. I think that in the original ways of being alive on this planet, we've always made beautiful things. We've always connected with the earth. We've always honored and revered life. This is part of this kind of spirit, this lifeblood that moves through human, moves through our original template. That's what I believe. And so if that's the truth, then there needed to be something that deliberately caused us to basically sever ourselves from that sense of ourself. And the way that this has been done is through toxicity, mind control programming, which is, by the way, no secret at this point, right? All of these papers have been released by the CIA themselves, have been doing various kinds of mind control, experimentation back, in the during World War II and shortly after, in universities that we all have heard of. It's no secret, right? You can go literally on the CIA website and find these documents yourself if you really wanted to. It's unsavory, right? Because that's also around the time television came out. And so essentially what I'm saying is that there's been like a very deliberate action of studying how human minds work, how frequencies and how even certain psychedelic drugs affect our consciousness, how sound frequencies, light repetition, language, how all of these things shape our consciousness and our belief systems. And unfortunately, the people that were researching this had the intention of using that information to control people on a mass level. And it's like, it sounds crazy because who would come up with such a crazy scheme, a crazy evil scheme like that? But when you go back and you look at the documents and you read through it yourself, your brain really has to just make a decision inside of yourself of saying, okay, like, I'm given all these facts. What am I going to do with this? Am I going to process this information, or am I just going to say, no, this is a conspiracy theory, which, by the way, is also as another word that the CIA came up with to kind of hide their tracks, right? So we understand that these beings then use this information. There's other studies as well of these islands in Asia where before they introduced television, they did this survey. They asked all the people, do you love your body? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about life? And it was very positive, the survey responses they got. Little girls will love their bodies. They love the nature. They love where they live. And then they did the same survey 10 years after they introduced television. And now all of a sudden, everybody hates their bodies, think they're ugly, think they're not good enough. So it's very apparent, where these, I call them thought viruses, mind viruses, right? Viruses of belief were literally inserted into a human civilization intentionally. Depending on which kind of spiritual vantage point you're looking at it, you can say it's for different intention. But I think it doesn't matter, right? It's like, did the ETs do this to eat our life force energy, or did the cabal do it to control humanity and to control the earth? I mean, it's kind of the same thing on different levels. So it doesn't really matter which one you subscribe to. The more important part, I think, is realizing that this is what we're living and awakening from on this planet. And then going into solutions of saying, okay, I realize that I have been inside of this system that has literally abused me. right? I do think that it's abusive. I think it's the highest level of abuse when you are deliberately exerting something that cuts people off from their own soul's dignity. This is something that I call bio-spiritual abuse. You know, you can have emotional abuse, you can have physical abuse, you can have sexual abuse, you can have spiritual abuse. And I think that, you know, the elites or these people that are deliberately inserting toxicity and hatred into people's consciousness with technology, this is a level of societal abuse that we have all been experiencing. And when we are able to talk about it like this, then we can actually engage in the kind of healing that we need to do to begin to move and transcend out of that system.
Yeah, thank you for that explanation. I think it's so important to discuss this at this level. And this takes me to the, something that I remember prior to incarnating myself is that basically I knew that I was going to get into a sphere where there is something that we call game of emotional dichotomy or the game of light and dark. Based on what I can remember is, like I said before, these type of human expressions do not occur naturally throughout the galaxies. You actually have to create it. And I think some people might be very, very curious to hear about these quote unquote bad guys, the supernation, and why, not only how in their own wicked way they're brilliant scientists, but also like why on earth would anybody allow free will at this level? And this is something that even has confounded me many times, like why would we allow this? But absolute free will is a gift that is given throughout different sectors in our creation. And I want to hear your thoughts on this, the game of emotional dichotomy, light and dark. I think many people might be curious to hear about that overall extraterrestrial influence that has been allowed to experiment and generate all these quote unquote games here on the Earth domains.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's quite a complex conversation, but I think my understanding of this is that on the highest level, so I believe or I perceive God as this force, this creational force, this architecture. And so there are certain qualities that are inherent in God, things that are of the original architecture of this universe, like infinite divine love, co-creativity, reverence, and holiness. And all of those things are the inherent qualities of Creator or the Great Spirit or God, right? And so if we had a universe that was interested in exploring, you know, infinite creations, there are certain things that are mathematically impossible. So for example, it is impossible for things like serial murderers and child rapists to exist in that world. And so in order for this source, this God, to experience that and to experience things that are not inherently itself, it would have to sever itself from itself to have that experience. Okay, and I don't think that originally, you know, we split ourselves off just to specifically experience those things. I think that really we're talking about anything, right? We wanted to just explore anything, things like bread and caramel, like whatever. There's just everything, right? It's everything. Unfortunately, there are certain things that are involved in everything, things like that, you know, things that are less savory, like, you know, human traffickers and things like that. I think that we're kind of byproducts of the universal experiment of free will on that level. I think that there are certain beings that definitely got a little bit too excited and went a little bit too far with the experiment. That's my personal belief around that.
Yeah, agreed.
And I also feel that at this point that we are in this moment of universal completion, meaning that experiment is actually coming to a close. I think that that's why what's happening on the planet right now is so extraordinary, is we're basically moving through kind of a collapse of kind of outdated architecture from that polarity/free will experiment. And I think that we're realigning back to the original architecture, which is, divine will and divine unity, co-creation, and that's going to move us into like another universal game. I think universes go through architectural shifts, just like, evolution happens on a personal and on a societal level. We've gone through very many different civilizations. We go through different rites of passages in our human life. I think this occurs on a galactic and universal level as well. I think that right now we're really healing, like the intent and the energy in the greater cosmic body is that we're healing the rifts that occurred from the free will experiment. A lot of were unforeseen byproducts that were less fun, less than fun to deal with by all parties.
Yeah, what I remember, I just want to hear your opinion real quick about it, is that well, basically, I remember the guy saying, oh, well, we need more possibilities, like our creation actually doesn't have infinite possibilities, which sounds a little crazy at first glance. But yeah, reality, the natural development of consciousness, animal and human, and planets and societies, they will. All possibilities are not present. So in order to see these possibilities that are not present, then hey, let's just create this game here. And what do you think?
I mean, absolutely. When you think about it, it's not crazy because there is inherent higher order in everything. Like, think about your body. It's like your body's not just growing an arm out the side of your neck because, hey, infinite possibility, right? Like, the body functions because there is an architecture that works. And so I think the same architecture in the universe is the same, where there are certain universal laws that ensure that there are certain qualities that are, ensured in the united experience, kind of like in society. And North America is kind of a good example, right? Where it's like, yeah, there's a lot of possibility, and you can't just go and kill your neighbor. Like, that's like something that, it's agreed upon. And so I think that this is a thing that the universal totality has agreed upon structure. And then at a certain point, it was like, well, how about we just try this infinite possibility thing? And then, then a lot of other things happen. Now we're like, oh, okay, now I understand, why there is structure and why we should, we've learned and we've experienced certain things. And I think we're kind of wrapping that chapter up a little bit.
Yeah, such a good point. Such a good point. We definitely learned what happens when you have all the possibilities.
Yeah, I think another thing that we have learned is also about creational responsibility. I think that one of the interesting things about human evolution, particularly down here in the more denser realities, is that ultimately these beings are made to experience source, in individuated form. And so that means our bodies, if this is the ultimate destiny of human, is to experience ourselves as these divine embodied beings that remember ourselves fully as the universal source, that we would also have certain abilities that are in alignment with the qualities of source, the qualities of God. And this is why you see masters, all over again in the native communities. There are shamans that can shapeshift and can bilocate and communicate with other dimensions. And in the East and Asia, there are beings, Babaji, that can like dematerialize and fly. And we have Jesus who materialize all these miracles. In all of these different cultures, we have heard these stories and seen these role models that have exhibited certain traits and abilities beyond what we believe is possible. And I think these beings usually have a similar message too, that, this is our destiny as human beings, that we are here to experience the pinnacle of what it is to be human, and or what it is to be a life form that is made in the image of divinity. And so, whew, I'm just getting fiery. I feel like heat through my body. So then one of those things that we experience is our ability to be creators, right? Our ability to basically create the world that we want. And so how can we learn what creational responsibility is? Well, we learn by just having free rein on creating whatever we want. And then we realize that, oh crap, that means that there are certain things that we have to be aware of. Like, we probably don't want to create loopholes where, you know, we can really hurt each other and we can kidnap children and, you know, put them into slavery. And like those things are probably not things that we want to create. And if we do create those things, there are consequences. And these consequences are oftentimes, you know, beyond physical. They are genetic or spiritual or painful on a soul level. And I think as a totality, because, you know, ultimately we are sharing this network of consciousness, that it's all data that is helping us calculate what kind of future, what kind of optimal next creation we're wanting to create. And hopefully, you know, everyone on this planet can unanimously agree that we don't want to create any wars. And we don't want any children to be abused, and we want peace and love and abundance and prosperity and all those good things for all living beings, which is really how nature is built, you know. And that's an interesting thing. It's like your nature functions in a specific way, and it's almost like humans out of nature and have this like rebellious phase where we're like, screw you, mom, like I don't want abundance. I'm gonna go over here and experience scarcity. And then we're like, wait, mom was right. We don't want to experience these things. So, you know, there is one angle to look at it as a natural developmental process of a maturing species.
There's no question that people have been separated from nature, and not only that, from, in my perspective, from accepting our fellow beings as beings. You know, even if they're small, like little birds, or even if they're really big, like a humpback whale, even if they are our companions, like our cats or our dogs, I think maybe at least half of people still believe that these beings are dumb or inferior, or even some people might even think, they're a very small minority, that, oh my gosh, they don't have souls. So they live in this reality that is totally, well, upside down. And
And I think
I
in a way we've really de-evolved, right? Because I mean, 1,000 years ago we kind of existed in realities where we were totally connected and we were telepathically communicating with the earth and having sacred ritual rites and all of those things. So in a way we kind of went backwards in evolution in some ways. That's a very interesting thought though, because I do think that that's part of the societal mind control, right? Those are one of the things that we accept as normal. And I think that this is the tricky way where like our parents and the society almost like it's trained to groom itself. And like grooming is a word used in mind control where you're basically kind of creating circumstance and structure around a person so they would believe in a set of things. And so, you know, in a way, our parents and society itself become this automatic handler for future generations, and people are born into this normal. And I think this is where also, you know, the tyranny of science, we're seeing it currently in the world right now, where there's a certain variation. It's not real science, right? Because we know in other dimensions and higher civilizations, we understand that science comes from a love of life, not this desire to define and confine things. It comes from this natural curiosity to know life and to know God. And so it's a slight variation that we're not really seeing on the planet right now, and it's created a lot of issues for us as a society.
Yeah, it has created a lot of issues. And it takes me back to my next point, which is something that I think a lot of people don't think about. And it is the dynamics of planetary consciousness. This takes me back to, well, the ancient beliefs that, well, the ancient understanding that all beings are, regardless of human, animal, we're all part of the same mother, the same system. And this separation of humanity from nature, or humanity from our fellow beings, and accepting them as equals, as relatives as well, it has created this disruption because of how consciousness or planetary consciousness works. And this is the living, breathing, universal creation. So I want you to tell us, how does this living, breathing, universal creation inspire you every day to continue to do your work, your very important work? And can you explain just dynamics of planetary consciousness 101, if you could.
Yeah, okay. So there's a couple of things that's coming in inspired by this wonderful question you just posed. And the first thing is, I think we're coming back into this conversation about our nature. I feel like when we say we've been disconnected from nature, one of the major ways we've been disconnected from nature is our own inner nature. And we've discussed so far how that's happened. You know, there is a force that's literally deliberately, its role and its intention is to sever humanity from that nature. And it's going out to basically murder people. I mean, this is like, you know, in China at the moment, the government is still systematically throwing people that practice a very specific lineage of spirituality in jail and beating them and torturing them. So there is a systematic eradication of people that have that connection, right? Here in North America has been the Native Americans and all different cultures. You know, in Europe, it was the Cathars 1,000 years ago. Basically, any group of people that has true connection to nature is their enemy because they are trying to eradicate spirit. And so what we have is this literal war on our connection to life itself, to our nature, to our the core essence of our being. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, why is that happening? Why do they want that? And I think when we start to ask that question why, we are going to start to get into the spiritual components of it. And I want you to also realize, if you're kind of new to this conversation, for the listeners, that I think exploring your own connection to spirituality is really important, because it's at this point not really about, you know, what you believe with your mind, but really that just seeing how there is a deliberate force in the world that is trying to take you away from yourself. And so whatever that means for you, to explore deeply what your connection is to yourself, and how you exist as a human being inside of yourself, how you define yourself, how you relate to yourself. Are you a person that is going to bring kindness and joy and healing and love to the world? Or are you someone that, you know, maybe don't care about the world? Because I think this is really the crucial thing, that when we really get into the nature, and I think a lot of people choose to be asleep because it hurts, right? Because we actually truly do love life and each other and this planet so much that if we were to truly wake up, we would feel the pain of how humanity has been embarrassed and shamed and wounded and harmed over such a long period of time. And that, you know, this is something that keeps a lot of people on the surface of this exploration. And I totally understand it as somebody that is in the healing profession, that obviously works on these levels, that these are the deepest levels of pain that any soul could experience, is the pain of being severed from our own sense of dignity, our own sense of being connected to that universal mother or to the web of life itself, right? And I think that then this brings us again into the exploration of that inside of our own being. I think that a healthy being exists in a place where you wake up and you're happy and grateful to have life. Right? You're happy that you have your senses and that you can taste and you can have friends that you can have fun with and you can do things that are fun. You can toboggan on the hill and eat fruits that are tasty and enjoy art that is beautiful. And all of these experiences are ones of joy and love and blessings to our life. Now, I think that most people, unfortunately, do not exist in that beauty all the time. And so I think that that's the first step, is that we have to realize that that's not normal. It's not normal for you to be sad and depressed and anxious and afraid. It's not normal. It's not normal for us to have normalized that as a society. And once we realize that that's not normal, then we start to peel back our awareness and say, okay, so actually this is what's messed up, is that we have a society that's very sick. And what does healthy look like? What does being a healthy human look like? Well, I think connection is a very natural thing that I think we don't have to make overly spiritual. I think when you feel heart connect with a partner or you feel togetherness with your children, that this is something that nourishes humans, that when you see a family of ducklings, you know, this makes your heart happy. These are very innate things that, you know, I mean, animal videos are super popular on the internet, so you know that people love looking at life existing in different ways. And I think that when you really follow that thread, you'll start to experience these really quite profound feelings of a love for creation, a love for life. It's almost indescribable. I think that it's very difficult to actually fully articulate this because it's a sensation that's at the core of our being. And I think that our own connection to that sensation of love for life itself, for creation, for all things that are holy and divine, that is the thing that is under attack. That is the thing that has been hijacked, and has, you know, and I think wherever we are in our own connection with that, that's the place that we can make the most progress in our healing and also bring about the most amount of gifts for our collective healing. Is that?
Yeah. That's a great answer. And it's just, I want to tell you that part of what I do on this show, it's both galactic awareness, but it's also animal awareness. Because I started remembering about a year ago, or maybe before that, that I consider animal awareness to be equal to galactic spirit. So what I'm trying to say is that I've had a few people ask me, how do you define a higher dimensional person, like one of your friends, you know, or our family, or the people that are overseeing the earth process here? That's a complicated question. You could, you know, it could go different ways, but their spirit, like the source of their emotions, in my view, is the same source of emotions that you can see in animals, that you can see in your cat, in your dog, more easily, because we're bonded at that personal level. Animal awareness equals galactic spirit. That's the whole thing that kind of explains to me the core base of higher dimensional human. So with that being said, place and value and wisdom of the animal beings. This is something that in ancient times, it was completely understood, definitely in the Americas, but also in Asia. And I'm actually not an expert on everything Earth, so I don't know. Maybe throughout the entire world, they had the same situation. But yeah, the place, value, and wisdom of the animal beings, like how can we learn from a cat, for example, who's just sitting there and is looking beautiful? And what would be the easiest way to connect to this being and learn from this being?
I actually love that which you're alluding to here. I think that is such a beautiful way to exist, and is definitely a part of the original way we're meant to exist, is this recognition that, I mean, these are the teachings of the original web of life, or the tree of life, right? That, you know, there is a unified source, and that life force is really the same. That life force is divinity, is love itself, and that love is flowing through all of life, and that life force flows through trees, it flows through rivers, it flows through animals, and flows through people. And all of life is just different emanations and different fractals of this unified, pristine, beautiful creation energy that is expressing itself in all of these different ways. I think that this is a, I mean, first of all, you can totally talk to your animals. I communicate with my animal communicator really often, like every couple months. I give my animals a chance to kind of submit their complaints to management by communicating through this animal communicator. I myself, you know, can generally communicate with them a little bit, even though I think my brain is tuned to a slightly different frequency. But I talk to my animals, I let them out, and I just say, you know, stay on our property. Here's the property line. Just stay on this side of the road. And generally they listen, and they used to run across. We just moved to a new place, and they no longer do that because I just constantly tell them not to do it. I know that all of, Several of my animals I've had past life connections with, like my dog Charlie. He's currently my dog, but he was my reindeer in a different life when we lived in Mongolia. And I think that cats are very galactic beings. They often come from very unique dimensionalities, and they carry different medicine and different skills that support us in our life. Yeah, and I can feel this energy coming off of you, which, yeah, it's like this echo or this remembrance of the joy that the joy of life, the joy of that connection, the joy of feeling that unity with life, and to experience it through the animals, and to feel it through just cycling all the way back to source and recognizing the unity of the totality and the unity through all the dimensions. And so that's really beautiful. I'm definitely feeling that in this space with you. There's one thing that there's two things that I wanted to bring in here that are a little bit, okay. So I think that the original state of our being is having this absolute reverence for creation and life itself. Like, it's not weird. In fact, you know, if I just sit here and I start thinking about it, I will start crying because, you know, life is so profound when you just sit in nature. And I think this is a practice in many shamanic lineages where you literally just sit there, right? Your teacher would be like, all right, you're just gonna sit here and listen for 5 days or whatever. You don't get any food, you're just gonna sit there and you listen. And when you listen in nature, you start tuning into the interconnectivity, and it's this immense beauty and this profoundness, and there's so much aliveness just in the stillness of what appears to be nothing going on, right? There's so much life and neurons firing and energy moving and life force processes happening and cosmic energy and all of those things, if we knew how to just sit really still and be present with life. And so when we are able to tune our awareness and we're not distracted by all the things that are shiny and sparkly in this world, and we're able to just tune our awareness to fully receive what is actually here in nature, what is actually here in life, it naturally evokes this sensation of reverence and love for life itself. And I think that that's our natural state of being. I think that the natural state of life on earth is holiness and sacredness and that love we feel. And so, one of the things that are core to how I have kind of made sense of this world is that our society is basically this watered down satanic reality. And I know that's a very strong word, so just hear me out for a second. How I define the word satanic is basically anti-life or anti-creation, a force that has no reverence, no love, no connection, and no respect for creation and God and holiness itself, right? And so when you look at our society, really, that is the backbone. That is the underlying theme of this world we live in. And it's not any of the humans' fault, right? This society was created by design to trap humanity inside of a anti-life, anti-creation, anti-sacred reality. And we perpetuate, it's like we're tricked because we're born into it. We just think that's normal, that's the way it is. But really, this is a very strange society. No other society in the history of the planet is like exactly like this. Because again, when you look into the original ways and look at all these ancient civilizations, like there was a lot of temples, rituals, ceremony, love, creation, all those things were, you know, founding principles. And so I invite people to just zoom out, right? Because sometimes we can just get really linear because of technology and TV and all these things. And we think what we have in front of us is the only thing or is the most normal thing. And really, when we zoom out, we're like, oh, like this is weird, right? And so from that perspective then, because when you can break this down from the satanic society thing, like we look at the TV, right? And how things are presented to us. You go to the store and you realize, you know, let's say just Walmart, for example, that most of the things in Walmart are basically made by slaves in other countries. and even child slaves in other countries. And you go to the grocery store, and a lot of the meat is from factory farms. And the most of the food in there have literal poison on them. And so for a company to feed people poison, this is something that is anti-life, right? Because if you had a true profound love for creation, you wouldn't poison people and you won't enslave people, right? And so then we're basically tricked into participating in that anti-life process by just being born into it. So, for example, I mean, I participated in that when I was born, right? My family, bought groceries and I probably ate the meat that came from the factory farms. We've all just been tricked into participating. And the crazy thing is that when you really, I mean, this stuff is pretty hard to acknowledge because, again, it points the finger right back at ourselves to say, well, Russia's bombing Ukraine, but, I have been participating. I've been giving money to people that literally abuse sacred animals. And then I'm participating in, wearing clothes that come from kids that were enslaved. I think the realization here then is that, we can absolutely forgive ourselves because we didn't know. And, we literally have been tricked into participating inside of a satanic society, right? It doesn't have to be like you don't have to literally be ritually abused and sacrificed in a ritual to subconsciously be energetically exchanging with a reality that is ritually abusing you on a very subtle level. Okay. And that's a very extreme and difficult thing, obviously, to hear. I think that is really important for us to really hear it because when we become aware of it, this is where our power is. Because then we can start to make different choices, right? This is the moment that counts. Because before, when you didn't know, that's forgivable because you were born into the society. These beings are literally tricking you with every ounce of their effort to keep you in the system. And so it's really not your fault before you wake up and you realize what's happening, right? But at this point, it's very important because this is the point where you can actually consciously make a decision moving forward on how you would like to move your energy. So from here on forward, it is up to you. It is up to the creator being inside of you to make the decision of whether you want to go back to sleep and pretend you didn't hear any of these things, or steadily make deliberate actions towards reclaiming your power and making different choices to actually move towards, changing or shifting this reality back into alignment, saying, I don't agree with torturing animals. I don't agree with enslaving children. Right? I don't agree with, living in a life where there's no reverence and connection. I don't agree with that. And when we fully accept that we actually don't agree with that, we have to then realize that we have the power to begin to make changes in our own life. And it's up to us to make those changes in our life. This is the thing with people, in our community, sometimes a lot of people are like, oh, the aliens are gonna come and they'll fix everything. And I'm just like, well, even if the aliens did come and fix everything, which, hey, what's up? Here we are. Every single person will still have to make their own deliberate action towards this healing path. I mean, we can support you, we can give you the knowledge, we can give you the tools, but at the end of the day, every human being has to make that choice inside of themselves. If it means enough to them, it has to mean enough. Does life matter to you enough? Is life important to you? Is life profound enough for you to make an effort to, create a better world so that kids don't have to experience slavery and even worse things than that, right?
Well, I just want to remind the audience that right now we do have plenty of options. So if you want to eat foods that are what we could call higher frequency foods, the options are out there. There's nothing stopping you. So I'm sure in small towns have it harder, but figure it out. We can all figure
I mean,
things
small
out
towns are
together.
great because you'll have farms around you. There's so
Oh,
many different,
there you go.
you find a local farm.
Okay, there you go. You can be in control of what you consume and your footprint on the earth. And you mentioned something that it's just, it takes me back to the aliens, right? Our galactic family. How come they're not here and they haven't landed? It's more complicated than that because we're here. But I tell people, and this is something that I believe, that, well, I'm not sure how this is going to play out. You know, I'm trying to exist, see, I'm trying to, you know,
just
heal.
Trying to exist here.
Yeah, I'm trying to heal everything, you know, with the help of many people, including you, with your content, and just really kind of take a grasp over my human expression, you know, after everything and all kinds of insanity. So I do know that they're here. I do know that the process is happening. However, how is this going to play out? I just want to hear your opinion. What are we going to do with our global outdated financial system, our de facto corporatocracy, and our old elites? Would the true energetic shift allow for a smooth, quote unquote, magical transition? Or will we actually need to intervene this planet with the aid of our galactic allies?
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. So I'm going to just start by saying, like, I don't know, like, I don't feel like I'm an absolute authority on this at all. There are certain wonders and curiosities, and so take everything I say as a grain of salt. I myself have decided to take things into my own hands. I think the starseeds are here for a reason. I think that it's very unlikely that we're going to have intervention because that's just kind of one of the universal laws that we exist in. That's why we incarnated down here and we just didn't show up in these, you know, spaceships. So I think that in some ways that there are situations where we can intervene. For example, if there's a nuclear bomb that has been detonated, you know, we can turn it off, right? That's happened several times. I think that there's certain thresholds that, like, if this planet, if they had a serious possibility of destroying the planet and thus actually ripping holes in the universal body, that's a situation where we would intervene. However, with the situation of society evolving and these kinds of things, it really just feels like we want to allow humanity to evolve, right? And to figure out new systems like we have always. And I think that there's just something that need to happen organically. And that's also why we have incarnated here on this planet in mass numbers, is to kind of just drive the ship a little bit, steer the collective reality in a positive direction. I do feel that in something like 20, 30 years, we will have galactic presence and connection to galactic presence. It will be widely known that there are cosmic allies and the Earth will become a galactic society. That's a lot of time for lots of things to happen. That's a lot of time for starseeds, especially starseeds our age. I mean, I feel like we're just getting started here on this planet. The way that I have been guided to move through this passage is to just be really grounded about everything and be really mindful that there are a lot of people that have been planted in the spiritual new age community to deceive, to distract people. In fact, it's really quite serious. It's a serious thing. Like, just yesterday I was working with a client who, you know, was just somebody that was curious and wanted to wake up and then find themselves in these different groups where people are channeling different beings, and all of a sudden they were getting attacked and now their whole life is falling apart. And, you know, I feel like sometimes if we dabble in things we don't fully understand, we can just get lost in the sauce. And I think that there's a lot of agents of deception out there right now, because again, there is a deliberate war on human consciousness, on human spirituality, right? So of course there's going to be factions of that in the spiritual community that are specifically targeting, you know, starseeds and people that are awakening. So be super careful about anything that you're subscribing to as a true thing in your world, right? Especially with your mind. The way that I personally have been going about this is really empowering my human self. Yeah, I have a lot of knowledge and a lot of access to other dimensions, but I feel like the superhero in my world is really my human self, because my human personality and my human body is the one that's going through this experience organically, and it's the one that's gaining wisdom from my reality. And one thing that I've witnessed in myself is that when I think, oh, someone's going to intervene or someone's going to give me stuff, I end up looping and not make any progress. So, for example, when I was in my early 20s, I was like, I reject society, I reject money, I'm going to be homeless, like, screw this, I'm going to ascend right out of here. And I ended up just, I would like manifest some money and then I would end up back at my mom's house and I would manifest some money and I'll go on some crazy adventure and then I would end up at my mom's house. And 3 years later, I'm like, I'm still at my mom's house. Like, why is nothing happening? And I was like, okay, because I've tried the same thing 3 times and all 3 times have landed me in the same place, I'm gonna try something else, right? And so I got a job. I just got a regular old job. I was cooking in the kitchen of this addictions recovery place, and I worked really hard and I got a raise and I made enough money to begin to build my life up in just a normal human way, which is not anything any stars wants to hear. But the realization I had was like, if okay, here's the thing, if some aliens came and they just gave me whatever resources I need, that would be great. I will accept that. And if that doesn't happen, I will actually have, created it myself. Right? There's like, it's like I will play my part and do what I'm supposed to be doing. Because I think a lot of these narratives about intervention and Nisara Jasara, like, it's like they're
Well,
locking our go ahead.
can I say something? When
Yeah.
I said intervention, I meant us.
Oh.
Somehow, yeah. That's what I typically share on my radio show. It's an intervention of us
Oh yeah. No,
on the
totally then.
Earth with the aid of galactic allies. That's very different from having our galactic allies just come over and do everything themselves. So that's a possibility I see. It would be having aid and protection and support from
Yeah, I'm
galactic
totally with
allies,
you then.
but not having them do the stuff. I mean, they don't know the language. we know the language here. We've been living here. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I mean, I think that that's totally what is happening. Like, yeah, there is an intervention. We're totally down here. Being human is one of the most fun things that I find, though, being down here. I had a lot of dreams about, for example, because you're talking about the financial system, I had a lot of dreams about galactics are like, all right, we have $14 trillion. This is like the funds that the starseeds people have. And like in none of those dreams was it just given to me, right? In all of those dreams, we created it. And I think that the process of us creating creation energy is really important because we're literally restructuring how energy flows on this planet. And I think that for the starseed, you need to realize that you are such a powerful creator being that you don't need to subscribe to any like limiting beliefs around, oh, money's evil, or maybe if I work with money, I'm evil. It's really just about your motivation. And if you're really operating with a heart of service, and if you believe in yourself enough, like so many, the thing that I see most is starseeds that are like, I know I'm supposed to build this magnificent healing center. Oh, I wish somebody would just give me $500,000, then I could start, building my healing center. And it's like the process of you building yourself up to being able to access $500,000 is the process which actually will allow you to be able to handle that project, right? You still need skills, you still need maturity, you still need, all sorts of different awarenesses to understand how to, so to not even know how to write a business plan, like, and just expecting some benevolent person to give us a bunch of money is actually quite ungrounded and, a little bit delusional. And I say that because anyone, like every single one of us, we are a creator being. And when you're a star person, you have even more potential and energy to work with. And so work with your limiting beliefs and know that you are worthy and you're capable of creating those energies to make anything that you want happen. And I feel like when the starseeds really, I feel like we're cracking out of these dinosaur eggs is kind of the vision that I'm getting. Because, our generation, I really do feel like we're the boots on the ground. I feel like the previous generations raised the vibration on the planet enough so we can come in. And I feel like our generation, really people in the 20s and 30s and even 40s, were here to put those things into action. Specifically the 90s babies I'm sensing these days. I'm seeing a lot of 90s star seeds that are just like got this fire inside of them that are just like here, in a really good way.
I remember watching one of your videos, and you were talking about an experience that you have with your Oracle friends, where you tuned in to a device near Portland, which is where this show is from. So, of course, that's a red flag. So what's going on in Portland? Can you just give us your opinion, your take on this, like the device, invasive influence affecting human consciousness in this sector? What's going on?
So I think I remember that particular device that I saw was related to pornography, that, when we engage, like there are certain brands of pornography that are specifically made to kind of plug people's consciousness in. And it's not hard to believe because when you think about it, sexual energy is like our most vital force of energy, of creation energy. And so really that's another way we see that the programming in our society has really degraded our connection with ourself. Because when you ask a person, what do you think sex is? Our holy connection to God is not the first thing that people think about when you ask that question. And so we see that there's a huge misunderstanding. Most of it has been inserted into human population through pornography, through Britney Spears and various artists like that were, God bless Britney, she wasn't really her fault. It's people that have, created those images, right? But essentially, pornography is one of the most devastating, I think, mind control technologies that exist because it really distorts our understanding and our connection to ourself and our inner sense of dignity and divinity and holiness inside of our own being. But essentially what I saw was that this particular kind of pornography was tagging into millions of people, and that this energy was directly being siphoned off, into these etheric realms, feeding various entities, sustaining certain geometries and technologies in another realm. And as far as Portland, I think that there are different experiments that happen in different cities. I think that when you realize that our human civilization as it is are predominantly a man-made spectacle, as we have discussed so far, we really need to just break everything down, right? With our own brain, with our own mind. When we realize that our society is built on this backbone of mind control, we have to then just kind of take stock of everything ourselves. I feel like Portland is one of those epicenters of these different kinds of collective hypnotic group mind control experiments. Just like, California, there's another pocket of a specific kind of consciousness. And also in New York is a kind of specific pocket of consciousness. I'm curious, like, what do you think? What do you feel?
Well, I was going to ask you again, like, what would be some quick answer to this? Like, somebody listening to this and they have maybe a problem with specifically pornography, which is, a very embarrassing situation and nobody would ever talk about it. What would be the easiest way to kind of accept that this is happening? It's a device. It's something invasive. It's a foreign influence. Like, how can you just shut it off?
I think the first thing is just becoming aware of it, right? The first step is becoming aware of anything and how they affect you and how they either serve your quality of life or diminish your quality of life. Because at the end of the day, I don't think there's anything embarrassing about it. In fact, I get really angry because it's not any human being's fault. I mean, there's so much shame and all of that stuff that is spoken about, but all of these things, like drug abuse, for example, as well, they like to shame the people that are on drugs, but really the drugs were put into society, right? And so it's like, who's at the root of these things? And when you're at the receiving end of this kind of societal mass abuse, get angry about it, because that anger is actually righteous anger that says that you care about your life, that says you treasure your life, and you're pissed that somebody has been literally distorting and taking your life from you on purpose by inserting these negative images and negative habits into your life, specifically to, cut you off from your own connection with life itself. And so when you take stock of your own life and you realize that certain things, even like junk food, certain things, they are not beneficial for your life. You need to take things into your own hands and say, well, do I feel like I'm worthy of a good life? Do I feel like I deserve to live a life that is positive and beautiful and filled with good things? And if I do believe that, then I need to do certain things that will change the direction of my life. And certain things might be, changing certain habits or stopping to do certain things. But I think that the source of our motivation is really important. Like, if we just want to quit pornography or any addiction just because society told us is bad, that's why people have a hard time quitting certain things, because, those motivations aren't strong enough. It has to be a motivation where you realize just how profound and meaningful and important your life is, right? And then fighting for your life because it's important and it's meaningful. And you do have a purpose, and you can make a difference inside of your own life, and thus, create that positive shift for others as well. I think nothing's going to get us out of this mess except, connecting inside of our being, just how much life means to us, how much this planet means to us, how much our human society means to us, right? Because only that level of kind of self-responsibility or united collective self-responsibility is gonna create the kind of shifts and impact that we need to see in the world.
Well, that's great. You heard it, people. Basically, anger. Anger is a really good tool that you can utilize to really counter-effect all this stuff, because we don't want to continue. We want to ameliorate all these devices from taking our life force away from us. So thank you.
You don't want to be spineless, right? Like, a lot of people will think that, anger is like low vibrational, or you have to be positive all the time. But look, if somebody came into my house and they were trying to harm my child, I'm going to be really ticked about it. And here's the thing is, like, it's exactly the same thing. These people are messing with the innocence of humanity. They're messing with our planet. They're messing with human civilization. And we need to kind of realize that we're not going to be a bunch of spineless doormats, and we're going to get angry about it because it's important to us, right? There are certain things in life that are worth fighting for, that are worth snapping out of this trance and doing something about. And I think that if there was any time on the planet that we need to kind of give our head a shake and fight for something that is meaningful and important, it would be life itself, and it would be our life here on this planet.
Well, we all consider you a really excellent teacher, healer, and conduit. And please tell us about Earth Star Academy, because as far as I know, it's one of the main starseed schools on the surface, or maybe starseed centers or cosmic integration centers. Just tell us about Earth Star Academy and what it's all about, and how people can go there and join and be part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're totally new to my work, I actually recommend you just like hopping over to my YouTube channel. I have a huge library of free videos on just about every particular thing that a starseed or any awakening person would want to understand. I break things down in great detail. I teach about our creation energy, our sexual energy, and how we are inherently connected to the divine and source and all of those things. And so if you're interested in just, having a taste of these kinds of conversations, you can head over to my YouTube channel. You can search the Earth Star Academy. And The academy itself, you know, it's hard to describe exactly what it is, but I think of it as kind of a mission briefing. I just first want to define a starseed. So for me, a starseed is someone that has a spark of God inside of them, or a spark of that original life that we're talking about earlier, just this love for creation. And that love for creation leads this person to desire to support and help this planet in some way. So if you're somebody that feels you have a spark of this divine light inside of you, and you have a desire to help humanity and help the planet move through this transition, then I would consider you a starseed. And usually, you know, these beings can come from other dimensions, other planets, other realms, or even the earth. It doesn't really matter. I think the unifying force is our desire to be of service. And I think that that's a very specific thing because, you know, some people aren't really thinking about saving the world, and some people are obsessed with thinking about saving the world. So, beings that are obsessed about healing the world are the beings that this school is made for. It's kind of like I call it the mothership. So it's a very interdimensional and interactive space. There is a learning path, meaning you take these classes from beginner to advanced level that tell you about the interdimensional wars that are happening and why these systems are mind controlling humanity, and really ultimately how we can heal ourself. My work is really centered around healing because, again, we don't realize just how we have been affected just by growing up inside this world and having eaten Pop-Tarts and watched cartoons. You know, all of these ways our bodies have been distorted, and how we, again, it's, I think that is a disease to not feel the divinity of our own being. Yeah, I think that if we were totally healthy, if there were no wounds and no trauma, no distortions in our body, then we would just wake up joyful and happy and in complete presence with the holiness of our being. And so the school is definitely a learning path that is designed to hold space for people to come back home to that place inside of our own self through healing, through knowledge, through awareness. And I also have healings, and I do group healings and Q&As and things like that. And there's like a platform that kind of is like a mini Facebook in the back of the school as well. And we're just in the beginning of building it. I mean, I really see it becoming more of like a network hub for, you know, things as like a membership and a community that we're building with certain foundations, right? It's like we're working on healing ourselves. We're working on creating our best selves, and then when we do it together, you know, magic can really happen. So yeah, I'm really excited. You can find that at www.earthstaracademy.
Okay, so earthstar.academy, that's the website, and you can just type in on your favorite web browser, see Earthstar, that's XI Earthstar, and you can find all this awesome person and all the materials that she's putting out and the conversations that she's instigating and all these wonderful things for this transition that we're going through. So is there anything else we'd like to share with us, with the audience? With the Galactus that are recording this show as well.
Yeah, I feel really good. I feel really good and hopeful for the future. Honestly, I feel like I have a lot of etheric popcorn. I'm just like eating popcorn and just watching everything and that's unfolding in the world right now. Because I think we're on a really good trajectory. It feels to me that the timeline is really great. I just want to see us all thriving. Like, I want every person that wants to build a healing center to have the millions of dollars that they need to build it, and to feel the confidence that comes from having empowered yourself through making it too, right? Just like believing that you can, and by like giving your love and giving your gifts to the world, that you are finding and creating all the resources that you need. This is what I'm here to support us. I think that I'm here to support and empower ourselves with the knowledge and the skills to be able to create. That's why we came down here. I mean, there's no thing that brings me greater joy than to be in the state of creativity. So I think that if we all align with that, then it's just going to be really fun. Oh, yeah. And I wanted to touch real quick on just this takeover thing. Like, I mean, what did you say? Intervention. Because I think
Oh,
about
okay.
the,
Yeah. Yeah.
no, just that I think about the Starseed takeover quite often. Like, I mean, I really see this future where, on CNN or something, they'll be like, Starseeds are here. And if you need your healing, just go find your neighborhood Starseed. It's just going to be that accepted, I think. And I really, our
I
role right
agree.
now
I
is
agree
to,
100%. Yeah. And I think things are going to happen a lot quicker than we can even imagine at this point, regardless of people being ready or not. So, but I guess it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to, it doesn't work to be rushed or anything. It's
Yeah,
just
I mean,
like,
I'm game. I'm ready. I'm just like, let's bring it.
okay.
I'm bored, It's like, how many years we gotta
Yeah.
drag this?
Yeah. I'm really bored too. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think a lot of people are. And then, but we are definitely on the path, and you know it, and I know it, and other people know it, and I'm just so glad to have you here. And you are pregnant. You're bringing a new human consciousness here, well, new slash old, and we just want to wish you the best. I mean, you're gonna. How are you feeling about this? Isn't that exciting? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I feel amazing. I'm really excited. And thank you so much for having me on your show. This has been really fun, and I've had a lot of fun connecting with you. You asked some really good questions, and that makes these things really good. So thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, C, and thank you for the work you do. Thank you for participating here in Squirrel Snow, and I will see you around, okay?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much. Oh, I had so much fun.
Okay.
I think you're doing really great work there. And yeah, powerful medicine that you're holding.
Thank you. Thank you. This planet deserves better. We all deserve better, and
Yeah.
our fellow beings deserve better. I mean,
Absolutely.
there's no question about that. It's been
Oh, that's
too long.
beautiful.
It's logical, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And
Yeah.
just, yeah, I mean, I really do love humans.